You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well.
Welcome to another review of the Screener Squad. Today and my guest will be talking about The Perfection. And to my guest I say, chello, Davey, introduce yourself. Eh? Like the instrument?
I know that this is audio. I know that this is an audio podcast, and that means that I can't accurately show my face right now. But I want everyone to just imagine the look that I'm giving my laptop.
Hey, it took me like 5 minutes to orchestrate that pun. Eh? Why don't we get into the review here? Perfection, just out on Netflix. Davey, why don't you use your brilliant vernacular and tone to tell us the synopsis of this twisty-turny, crazy bananas of a film?
So, The Perfection is... So, Allison Williams from Get Out and Girls, she is a former cello player at a really prestigious school for classical musicians, and specifically for cello players. But her mom got sick, so she left the school, and she is coming back to judge a competition for this school. And she comes back, she meets this girl who's another incredibly good cello player, played by the girl who is the lead on the Dear White People show, who is very good, and whose name is called...
Logan Browning.
Her name is Logan Browning. And so the two of them, they meet, and they have a little back and forth. They're like, oh, I'm the best, but you're also the best, so ha ha ha. And they start hanging out. They get close, and then things go poorly. And that is the plot of this movie.
Yes. And by poorly, to dive any deeper into that well-crafted choice of words, I think we'd end up spoiling anything. So we're just going to do our best to say what we liked, what we hated, in incredibly vague terms. We're talking Crow Flies at Midnight terms
here. Yeah, it's a really hard film to talk about because there is... a lot of major plot developments at the halfway point and a lot of major plot developments at the end of the second act, both of which have been very well hidden by things like the trailers and the marketing, but it's still, that's where a lot of the meat of the film is. And with that, I feel like to start off with, I think the biggest issue with this, or one of the biggest issues with this movie, is the first like 20, 30 minutes, which is nice and entertaining and charming, but does such a poor job of setting up the kind of movie that it actually is that it feels like a lie from the filmmakers, which I know is the point, but it when your first instinct in a movie is to lie to your audience, that is already putting you at a disadvantage.
So you're from the school of you don't have to be dishonest to sell a twist.
No, I don't think you have to be dishonest.
I think in today's filmmaking, you know, I think that's, you know, a really great ideal we should all reach for, but I haven't seen a twist without being lied to in a while.
But there's a difference between lying and lying by omission. I think a movie can lie by omission and just say, hey, we didn't tell you this thing, and it turns out that it was something. But if a movie tells me something, and the reveal is that it is something else, it is the opposite thing without giving me a clue that that the film was lying about it, I think that's bad writing. Because I should be able to figure out the twist in a movie if I was smart. I'm not smart, so that's why the twist can work, but I should be able to. I should be able to watch it and be like, damn, I wish I was smart, but I'm not. Now it's just now it's like, I know I'm not smart, but this movie's also not smart, so who wins here?
Well, there is more than a bunch of twisty turny stuff going on, everybody. This film also has, I think it's a genre mashup. It's got the really powerful themes of what one does for their art to be the best at their art. And if you are the best, are you actually the best? Because do the best suffer for their art? I don't think so, not with the dump trucks of money they get. And I thought that was a fun thing to think about. Now, you sounded confused when I said that. Is this just me remembering how much I enjoyed Whiplash while I was watching this? Did you not get any of those themes, or?
No, I got a lot of Whiplash vibes out of this because the cello school is a very intense program run by people that are very passionate about what they do to the point where they can get pretty mean about it.
Well, the string instruments are...
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to sound like a total, like, knob. Like, up my own ass right now. When it comes to strings, you need more than passion and heart. You need talent and technique. So on your way if you're not interested in being perfect. You know, and my wife took violin when she was young, and she was treated that way by her instructor. And she just wanted to learn to play violin. It wasn't even for grand ambition, but that is how they're taught, in my understanding.
Yes, and I feel like the difference between a movie like this and a movie like Whiplash is that in Whiplash, Damien Chazelle makes a very conscious effort to say, Miles Teller is choosing this. This is his decision to be here every step of the way. And that's why that film works. The reason why a lot of the you have to play violin incredibly well scene or play cello very well scenes in this movie to me doesn't work is because I never got to see Allison Williams going through this school and working her ass off and choosing to consistently be there. I never got to see the same for Logan Browning. You just see them saying, oh, I'm really good at the cello, but I'm a little bit sad about it. Like, I need the nitty-gritty of that, you know?
No, and I agree with you completely. There isn't a single scene in which they play because they want to. It's either they play to show their prestige, to show their suffering, to show that what they've done is paid off, and to strive for new heights. And that
it works.
Can be... It's almost like watching an amazing gymnast finish a routine and then being like, wow, that was incredible. And then you see that she's got dead eyes because, you know... Well, I apologize, Davey. I'm not going to get into how much I think gymnastics destroys lives. But
oh, no. I'm so here for talking about the politics of... of those kinds of sports, but the thing is, a lot of those people that started gymnastics, they started enjoying it. You need to see the enjoyment before you see, or not even the enjoyment, but you need to see the drive and the passion and the willingness to put yourself in this kind of incredibly compromising situation for your mental health before we can empathize with it. Before we can empathize that, oh, it's gotten too much, it's more than you signed up for, because we don't know what you signed up for.
Right.
And that's, to me, that's not good writing. That's not good storytelling.
Like, I do think the score for this film is beautiful, but...
Well, yeah, because it's a bunch of cellos. The cello's a badass instrument.
Yes. But as well as Browning and Williams do at imitating, and, you know, I've seen a lot of orchestra in my life. I enjoy it. It's not great, but it doesn't have to be. You know, this movie, of course, is for mass appeal. Well,
yeah, like it's on Netflix. I'm not here.
Pretty okay, yeah.
Yeah, they do a good enough job, and they're not here to be incredible cellists. They're here to be good actors, which I think, for the record, Williams and Browning do a very good job in this movie, I think.
Absolutely, and I agree with that 100%. I'm glad they're kind of stepping into the limelight. I know that Browning got a lot of shit for being on Dear White People, not just because of the faux outrage, I call it, about that series, for people who don't even watch it or are the most outraged about it, of course, but because she
took the
place of...
Even though it's a very good show.
It's a fantastic show. I'm excited for season 3. But she took the place of the actress from the original indie film, and I don't
Tessa
remember
Thompson.
Who that was. Thank you. It's like, was that really Tessa Thompson? I really enjoyed Tessa Thompson, too. So,
Which,
you know,
I mean, I would envy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I wouldn't envy taking over from Tessa Thompson.
Right. And the fact that it works is, you know, a credit to her talent. Yeah. Now, another genre mashup in this show. A lot of people are calling it a little bit of a Cronenbergian type of journey. Now, on a scale of A History of Violence to The Fly, where do you say this lands in body horror? Or do you think this is just people being hyperbolic?
This lands firmly in Scanners. Where, like,
yes.
Like, there are a few moments of incredible body horror gore.
Yeah.
But it's not, like, a constant thing. There are a few moments where I was going, oh, damn. Oh, all right, you guys did that thing. That was a really cool effect, or that was a really cool piece of violence. But it's not a body horror. It's body horror infused, I would say.
I would agree with that. I mean, watching it again... And which I wouldn't recommend, especially while eating lunch, everybody.
I think you were eating while you watched this?
I was, and then I wasn't, oh, you know?
No. Yeah, no. Don't eat food while watching this movie. You can watch, like, the first 20 minutes while eating food, and then you need to stop.
Yeah. Williams and Browning again.
Yeah.
I think a lot of time body horror works because... of the performances and the reaction to it. And even the extras in the scenes of the ew, I'll call them, moments.
Yeah.
They did a great job at reacting to, oh no. Like, I remember the first Saw movie, everyone was freaked out about it. But I don't know. I thought Cary Elwes handled the sawing off of his foot pretty well, and he didn't really react to it in an extreme way. Not to bash on a, 25-year-old movie? Holy crap. So
It's 15 years old.
Oh, good.
Yeah, the movie's younger than me, so it's not that not that long ago.
And, yeah, I think a lot of the weight of selling body horror has to do with physical prop work and the actors selling it, and I think those came together very well. It did come across as gratuitous a lot of times, so if nobody's here for that, then I'd say maybe you can close your eyes through a lot of the scenes. They're not long-lasting, and it's a short runtime, so they're kind of few and far in between, but they do still happen, so watch out.
It is a short runtime, but I feel like also the set design and the gore were the things that most of the money was funneled into, so if you're not watching this for a horror movie... with a few incredibly gross things happening.
Yeah.
You're really not going to get much else out of it.
Agreed.
Quite frankly.
The third thing it does.
It's a complicated movie.
It is.
And sometimes I say that is a good thing. Sometimes I say that is a bad thing. And I don't know exactly where I stand on it right now. I mean, it was unexpected, which I think is a positive. I don't like how they went about it. But I think that there were good intentions with every aspect of this movie, but I think there were good intentions that weren't fully realized.
You know, Netflix, when they put these movies out, and they put so many out, they all seem to want to be these huge, grand spectacles that are also treated like the great dramas they are, and some of the Netflix films have been outstanding. But then...
Yep. Shout out to the Discovery.
Yeah, exactly. But then Netflix seems to, within a week, say, okay, now forget about that, now watch this.
Yeah.
And, well, we don't have to talk about the politics of Netflix's mission statement, but the third thing this movie does, as I was saying, and hopefully that ties into my little rant, when films like this come out, there's a certain narrative structure to them that some people will say, this is going to redefine storytelling. Do you think this film and the way it's told has a shot at being a staple? You know, for example. I'm not going to give examples because then people will, you know, probably think they're spoilers. But you know what I mean? When a director tells a story and everyone's like, this will change film forever. Do you think the way this was shot... There you go. You got my question.
No. Yeah, I get what you're saying. I feel like they probably thought when they were making it that this would be kind of a revolutionary way of telling a story. But the only reason that it's an idea that we don't see a lot of is because we've moved past it. It's a reductively told story. It's a story told with the idea of the audience couldn't even keep up if we gave them clues, so why bother giving them clues? Why bother trying to make this make sense? They're here to watch this. They're here to watch these themes and these moments. They're not here to watch a story. And no, I am here to watch a story. And I didn't get a particularly good one. I got good gore, I got good performances, and I got good themes. And I got a lot of interesting ideas, but those interesting ideas were put together, at least to me, very cynically.
Yeah. No, very well said. And I'm from the same camp. I think that it's ambitious. I think that it's gore, spectacle, performances are a lot better than the story that it's trying to tell. I think it succeeds at the story it wants to tell, which all power to the writer. That's awesome.
Yeah.
But I don't think it worked for me.
No,
45 minutes of it, absolutely. I think I was on the edge of, this is one of the best horror films I've seen this year. But then it continues. And I ended up walking away saying, that was okay. That was good.
I enjoyed that first half is legitimate. Like, I'm tainted by where it goes. But, like, that first half, even though it's soured because of what comes after, to me, that first half is really good.
Yeah.
And thank you for reminding me of that. Because I lost a little bit of sight of that in my confusion and upsetness at where the film went.
Yeah. Well, let's dive into our final thoughts. You know, I'll just say pretty much what I was saying before. It's a fun watch. It's a gory watch. It's the kind of watch you want to get together with a bunch of friends. Hey, if you're looking to date someone out there, this might be the one to watch so you can apologize afterwards, especially if they're not into gore or horror. But, you know, if you need someone to, like, scream and grab your shoulder and, you know, cuddle up to you, this is a good gamble. For the hardcore horror fans, I think you'll enjoy this. But like me and Davey, I think you'll walk away saying, man, I wish that would have had a little bit more to it. Or maybe they didn't need to go that route. And
yeah,
at risk of sounding like the Game of Thrones petition people, you know, saying, oh, I should have
redo the ending because I didn't like it.
I do think that the cast is great. I enjoy the score. I'll probably purchase it on iTunes. I have no idea if it's available. Leave a comment. And I'll give it 7 broken strings from 10 great players.
Wow, that's a lot higher than I expected you to be going.
Well, you know, 7's my go-to for having a good time and not really anything.
I get that. I feel like for me, when it was all said and done, I didn't particularly have a very good time. And that really bummed me out.
Yeah.
Because, like I was saying earlier, it all felt so hollow and calculated, and it felt like subversion for the sake of subversion, not subversion for the sake of telling a story. And I really don't like that. If you're looking for a kind of gross, weird horror movie that has a lot of stuff about identity politics and gender relations and the price of having notoriety, just watch Antiviral, because that was a fantastic movie that nobody saw from like half a decade ago. Super great
film. Doesn't it have Cronenberg relations too?
Yeah, his son made it.
Ah.
Yeah, incredible movie. But this, it doesn't hit the mark for me. I wish that there was more that I could say about it, but that is for an academic article where I can spoil and talk about the final 30 minutes freely, which I cannot do right now. I guess watch it with people if they're, like, kind of gore hounds. I feel like they would have to have a pretty intense tolerance for that sort of stuff to get some enjoyment out of it, because I was watching it and my mom sat down next to me and did some work, and I didn't know how dark this movie was going to go. And that was weird.
That sounds very weird.
It was because the first big thing happens, and I went, oh, it's going to be that kind of horror movie. And we didn't talk for the next 45 minutes while it just unfolded.
Mm-hmm.
So I give The Perfection 4 out of 10 ironic titles that are just too easy to not make a joke about.
Oof. 4 out of 10. Yeah, I only dip below 5 if I hate myself after watching something. Maybe I need to review my scaling.
Because, like, for me, a 7 is, like, 7's pretty good. 7 is above a 5. 7 is, like I own movies on Blu-ray that I gave a 7 to.
Oh, wow. No, yeah. For me, ownership's got to be, like, a 9 or 10.
But, like, if a movie does 70% of things right, that's a good movie for me. That's a passing grade. That, like, that's a C.
Yeah, I agree.
And, like, I can get with that. Like, if, like, I won't, like, buy it day it comes out, but if a movie I gave a 7 to is in, like, the bargain bin at Walmart for, like, $3, yeah, I'll pay $3 for a movie that does 70% of things really well. And I think that's...
You don't want to go bargain bin. I mean, switch to digital, man. That's the way things are going.
Ugh, I hate digital media so much. I'm looking at a cabinet right now filled with CDs, PS2 games, and, like, old Nintendo Entertainment System cartridges. I hate physical media so much. Alright, I hate digital media so much. Physical's the way to go, if at all possible.
Well, I certainly appreciate that. I'm fully integrated to be overrun by our future robot overlords. Praise be to Skynet. Make me immortal. Yeah. And with that, we close the curtain. Davey, why don't you sing a little Canon in D minor by Pachelbel while we close out.
This is the Canon in D minor. I don't know what song you wanted me to sing, so I'm just kind of fucking around. Classical music nerds, don't get mad at me.